Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
You are a German Christian during the Holocaust, and you have the ability to assess Hitler based on biblical principles. Should you do it? We'll talk about it today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
All right. End of yesterday's show, after interviewing author Eric Metaxas on his best-selling book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I asked the question, was it right for Bonhoeffer to try to assassinate Hitler? If you know that he is killing millions of people, he's killing innocent men, women, and children, he's having them march to the gas chambers, 1.5 million Jewish children alone killed by Hitler. You have the opportunity to take him out, should you? Would it be a right thing to do? Would it be a Christian thing to do? Michael Brown, thank you for calling, for joining us. I'm getting ahead of myself. Joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or get into the very lively discussion taking place on Facebook right now at Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown. The end of the show yesterday, we got instantly flooded with calls when I raised the question, and I put it a few different ways. Let's say that you see someone, they're a sniper, they're hiding out in some house somewhere, they've got kids in a playground, little children in a playground, these kids have nowhere to go, the parents have nowhere to go. The sniper is picking them off, shooting, picking them off, and you yourself, you're a good shot, and you have the ability to take this person out. Would you do it? Would you do that? Would you kill that person? You got a rifle, you got them right in line, boom, would you take that person out? If you come up behind them with a baseball bat, you know, somehow you're behind where they are, you'd kill them like that. Would you do that if you could stop them from just slaughtering children? Okay, why would that be different then than taking out Hitler? People said, yeah, I would definitely take that sniper out, but when it comes to government authorities, I wouldn't. So if the person was a policeman doing it, policeman is a government authority, but sinning, doing a wrong thing, using his authority to destroy, and you had the power to take that policeman out, would you do it? We'll take it further, and we'll talk specifically about Hitler. You're a German Christian. Somehow, maybe you're working in the offices there, and somehow you're alone with Hitler, and you have access to a weapon, and you can kill him. And if you kill him, perhaps you can stop the slaughter of millions of people. I mean, the World War II as a whole, which was not just Hitler, but World War II as a whole was millions and millions. The most horrific and shocking was just the wanton slaughter of 6 million Jews from all over Europe, two-thirds of European Jewry. But there were millions, many millions more that were killed in World War II. What if by taking Hitler out, you could have stopped bloodshed, stopped millions of others from dying? Would it be the right thing to do? Would it be the Christian thing to do? If so, how do we reconcile that with the call to submit to authority in Romans, the 13th chapter? I asked one of our callers who said, listen, you must submit to governmental authority regardless. Paul wrote that in the days of Nero. I asked him, was the American Revolution wrong? Was it wrong for us to revolt against the authority of Britain? And he answered yes, which is a consistent answer. So what's your take on this? 866-34-TRUTH. For those of you who say, well, this is a little abstract, not really relevant. Well, what about killing an abortion doctor? What about if you know someone like George Tiller that was called Tiller the Killer? You know that this man is killing babies that are viable. He's doing late-term abortions. Many of these babies would be viable right then. I mean, and Tiller actually had services. I was unaware of this till some pro-life friends filled me in on it. But he would actually have services afterwards where they would baptize the corpse of the baby that he killed. You know, because maybe the baby was going to have a serious illness or, you know, lifetime deformity, genetic issue. And so this is now the merciful thing to do. So you kill the baby in the womb that could easily survive outside the womb, all right, or that could easily go full term and live. You kill that baby. We condemn those that would kill Tiller. But as we're reading many of the Facebook comments, people are saying, no, in the case of Hitler, it'd be right to take him out because he's slaughtering people. He's slaughtering innocent people. He's a madman. You take him out. You use the opportunity that you have. That's a God-given opportunity. Or do you say, no, we never, ever take another life, because to take another life, then we're no longer pro-life. Once we take his life, we're no different than him. Others would say, what are you talking about? We're no different than him. He's a murderer. To take the life of a murderer is not murder. What? Hang on. What if you were a soldier? What if you were an American soldier and you were sent in to fight against Nazi troops and you had the ability to take out Hitler? Would that be okay if you weren't a German Christian in submission to his government? Or was his government completely illegitimate and not at all what Paul was talking about in Romans, the 13th chapter? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. No way I could even read a fraction of all the comments that are coming in on Facebook and then on my private page as well. But we're going to talk about a few other things today. Some you've got to be kidding me things as well, and some serious issues right here in America. Maybe a little bit lighthearted to get us out of gloom and doom a little bit as well. But let's think this through, all right? Let's think this through on several different scenarios. Someone comes into your home. I'm speaking to the man of the house now. Someone comes into your home. You're married with children. And this person has murderous designs on your wife and kids. In fact, when you come in the home, he's got them tied up and he's about to slit their throats. Would you say, oh, well, I have to turn the other cheek. I have to just, you know, praise the Lord, and whatever happens is what's going to happen. I just have to turn the other cheek and bless those who curse and so on. Or would you, if you had a weapon in your hand, the ability to take this person out? I mean, you come in your house and you see what's going on. Let's say you were licensed to have a gun and you shoot this person. Would you do that? Or would you say, well, you know, I can't shed blood. I can't hurt because I'm a follower of Jesus. And Jesus said to put down the sword. Would that apply? Someone in your house trying to kill your family. Let me take it a step further. What if the person that had broken in was in a police uniform and was actually a law officer, but was deranged, was not properly enforcing the law, was rather breaking the law by doing that? Would you hesitate to take that person out if they're about to slit the throat of your wife and of your kids, and you have the power to stop them with force, lethal force that'll kill them? Would you do that? Well, what if it happened to be the governor of your state that had broken in and made a decree and came in with his henchmen? We are decreeing that we are killing all Christians. Oh, so it's not just a break-in, it's killing of Christians. We are going to break in and kill all Christians because we've had it with these Bible-believing Christians. And the governor himself has decided, because he hates you so much, he's coming into your home and he's about to kill your family. Would you take him out, or would you say, well, if it's the governor, then I have to submit to the governor? On the flip side, did the Christians in Rome in the first century try to take out Nero? Or did they just accept persecution? Or are you saying, well, hang on, now you're mixing things. You're talking about someone breaking into your house versus persecution. Okay, well, what about slaughter of the Jews? Was that persecution because they were Jewish? You just take it. Or was that murder? 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think? What's your take? And I will get to at least some of the comments that have come in already. I don't want to get too far afield with my questions about authority, but it does raise the issue of even the American Revolution. Was that right? American Revolution, was that valid because we were resisting authority? And what about scriptures like Proverbs 24 that say, rescue those being led to slaughter? What if you have to rescue them by taking out another life? All right, I'm going to switch gears for a moment. I read to you a couple days ago the editorial called A Prayer for Michael Brown by Matt Colmer, young gay activist in the city whom we pray for and love and reach out to. And his editorial was slightly conciliatory, but primarily bashing and then completely misrepresentative. And actually, a few comments have come in, most of them criticizing his editorial. But this one I got to read to you. You got to check this out. This is in his favor. The easiest thing in the world for someone who pretends to be a Christian is to follow a leader immersed in hate. It is the lazy Christian who has not truly studied the words of Christ to realize that homosexuality is never condemned by him. Only those who mock Christ will condemn homosexuals. Unfortunately, it is easier to simply and blindly follow the ignorance and hate of a dark pastor, that's probably me, than it is to take the time and effort to seek the truth. Homosexuality is no more a sin than motherhood. But I don't expect any ignorant, spiteful pew warmers to understand that. So I guess all of us ignorant, spiteful pew warmers or followers of a dark pastor or the dark pastor himself, I guess, according to this, we're all mocking Christ because we say homosexual practice is sin. Amazing. We got to pray for these folks that the love of God and light of God and truth of God would penetrate their lives. We'll be back. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thank you for being with us today. 866-34-TRUTH. Our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for previous broadcast or to get into the always interesting discussion. On the heels of my interview yesterday with Eric Metaxas, author of the tremendous book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, 600-page best-selling book, and as comments have been coming in from readers, I've been thrilled to see how the book has impacted them. It raised the question, was Bonhoeffer right? Was Bonhoeffer right in his attempt to assassinate Hitler? Is that a Christian thing to do? If he had succeeded in assassinating Hitler, and now, of course, this was close already to the end of World War II, but let's say it had been earlier on, or let's say World War II would have been extended, and let's say millions more innocent people would have been slaughtered, but an assassination attempt on Hitler stopped the whole thing, and millions of innocent lives were saved. And then millions of lives of soldiers fighting each other in different countries were saved. Would you look at this as a heroic act? Would you look at this and say, God bless Dietrich Bonhoeffer because he did the right thing, because he pulled the trigger, was involved in pulling the trigger, or blowing up Hitler, whatever the thing was, because he was stopping a murderer from doing murderous things? Or would we say it doesn't matter, Christians don't do that, because where do you draw the line? And in your eyes, is the slaughter, say, of Jewish men, women, and children different than the slaughter of babies in the womb? In your eyes, would you say, well, maybe it's right to take out Hitler, but it's wrong to take out an abortion doctor, because if we kill an abortion doctor, then we ourselves are guilty of taking a life, plus the mother is complicit in the whole act as well. So it's a very challenging question to think about. And of course, you have to look at the situation itself, and then you have to look at the larger situation of what are the implications of this. So another question. Let's say you knew that Adolf Hitler was going to grow up to be exactly who he was going to be. It was revealed to you. You knew it for a fact. And if he could die young, I mean, he's walking across the street, you're driving in your car, and you could kill him, wouldn't that be, think of all the lives that you say. You say, but then we're playing God. Well, okay, so then when America right now is taking out terrorists in Pakistan, when we're sending in these drone bombers and they're going in, these pilotless aircraft, they're going in and they're taking out these terrorists, or when Israel assassinates a certain terrorist, is that always wrong then? Is it okay for the military to do this in certain cases, but it's not okay for a civilian or a citizen to do it? On what basis is it okay for a military to do it? Because the government authorizes it? If we know, okay, look, I'll be candid with you. When I hear that a Hamas terrorist who has been involved in blowing up men, women, and children, who is filled with hatred and who wants to see Jewish people destroyed and other people destroyed, but in particular, let's say his focus is on Israel, And look, I want to see him saved. I rejoice when I hear these terrorists coming to faith. I know that they've been driven away from Jesus in many ways, as Jews have been driven away from Jesus. My heart goes out to them as a human being that needs the Lord. But when I hear that a key leader who has refused to negotiate, who has refused to put down arms, who is set on destroying Jews, well, I'm just telling you honestly, when I hear a report that Israel has assassinated one of these people, I grieve for the loss of a human life and someone that could have been saved and known God and did not. But on the other hand, I'm glad that a murderer has been stopped. Now, is that a right reaction? Is that a right reaction or is that a wrong reaction? I'm just being honest with you. And by the way, because I'm not on National Public Radio, they can't fire me for saying that. Little fun for those of you aware. 866-34-TRUTH, throwing out a lot for you to think about and consider. When do we say, take my life if you want, but I'm not going to deny Jesus? When do we stand up to defend others? Is there a difference between military and individuals? Lot of issues. Okay. Let me talk to you about something that does affect our military, just switching subjects for a moment here, and we'll give some more reflections and read at least a few comments, as well as take some calls on this subject. But let me switch subjects to the issue of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military, which Harry Reid is trying to push through before this congressional session is over, because he knows he won't be able to push it through with the next session with the massive turnover in the House and in the Senate. So why is this such a big deal in certain circles? Why is this such a big deal in gay activist circles, the overturning of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that homosexual men and women can serve openly in the military? First, as always, let me say that I appreciate the fact that there are homosexual men and women that want to serve in the military. And that I'm just talking about those who, for no other reason, there's nothing political about it in terms of their motivation. There's nothing activist. They simply want to serve in the military because they believe in our country's values or they want to have a military career or whatever the thing is. I appreciate that. I appreciate their willingness to do it, and I know that some have served with distinction. However, you must understand this is part of a much, much larger agenda. You must understand that pushing this through has implications for our society. Oh, well, if the military has no problem with it, why do you have a problem with it? The military realizes it has to re-educate people, because bear in mind, it would have to, and it has talked about actively re-educating people because they know many would have an issue. And there is a sizable percentage of those that said they would either leave or not re-enlist if they had to serve with openly gay men and women. The head of the Marines most recently has voiced a strong approval, which means 3 out of 4 military leaders of our various military organizations have come out against this and have cautioned against it, especially in the midst of 2 wars. And if you go to prayinjesusname.org website, Chaplain Klingenschmidt has stayed on top of this. He says the real Pentagon poll indicates that 91% reject open homosexual service. In other words, it all depends on how it's asked. Here's one of the questions. Question 45, if you had a leader whom you believe was gay or lesbian, 9% responded it would be positive, 91% negative or mixed effect on unit's performance. Question 68C, 85% of Marine combat arms, 75% of Army combat arms, 64% overall say negative, very negative, or mixed impact on unit trust. And it goes on and on. You need to understand, not only is this potentially disruptive for our military in terms of people who might leave, it is also disruptive because it would call for re-education. I have a religious conviction against this. Well, you're going to have to relearn because military is all about submission to authority. Well, I have a moral conviction about this. Or you're going to have to be retrained. And then more importantly, there is the larger effect on society. There is the way this trickles down. Trust me. Trust me on this. This will be used as a further wedge issue to say that there can be no good basis for rejecting open homosexuality. Only a bigot would do that. Only an intolerant, religious motivated bigot would do such a thing. Look at the military, etc. You say, look, other countries did this. They made the transition. It was a non-event. Yeah, what was the Christian basis and biblical basis and foundation of those in the military? And what percentage of evangelicals are in the military today, which of course leads to other related questions about the military, Christians, violence, etc. If you haven't contacted your senator and called, do so, or go to the PrayInJesusName.org website. You can sign a petition there. We'll be back. I have decided that I'm going to open a bit of a hornet's nest here. So, Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. But before I do that, something lighthearted for a moment. All right, I want you to listen to this first sound. Go ahead. All right, that is the Muslim call to prayer. What does that have to do with this? All right. ignore the dog barking part, but what does one have to do with the other? What does the Muslim call to prayer have to do with someone yodeling? Are you ready? This report's about 10 days old, but I only found it today. An Austrian man has been fined for yodeling while mowing his lawn. According to a report, the Kronen Zeitung newspaper claims Helmut G. was told by a court in Graz, Styria, which is Austrian, that his yodeling offended his next-door Muslim neighbors. The men reportedly accused the 63-year-old of having tried to mock and imitate the call of the muezzin, the man who calls for prayer. The Daily Prayer writes, the Austrian was fined €800 after judges ruled he could have tried to offend them and ridicule their belief. The Muslims, whose nationalities were not revealed by the report, were right in the middle of a prayer when the Austrian started to yodel. The man told the newspaper, it's not my intention to imitate or insult them. I simply started to yodel a few tunes because I was in such a good mood. on the one hand, I shared this report with someone earlier. They're sure that the guy was trying to mock. But either way, the fact is you find somebody for that. Why the hypersensitivity? No, I'm not going to go mock Muslim call a prayer, but why the hypersensitivity when it comes to offending a Muslim about something? But I assure you, if it was Christians that were offended, there'd be no one in their right mind in European courts that would think of fining a person for, you know, they were chanting a certain way, and that chanting was when we were praying and they were trying to offend us. They're going to be fined by the court? Come on. Anyway, all right. let me open a hornet's nest. Is it right for Christians to serve in the military? I was just looking at a comment on Facebook, and someone asked the question, okay, look, the Allied troops took out the Nazis. The Allied troops helped bring down the murderous regime of Germany at that time. And we hail those troops and say they save lives. And some of you listening may have fought in World War II. Others, plenty of us have parents or relatives that fought in World War II. So you're talking about now today in Iraq and Afghanistan, you're talking about shooting people, bombing people, blowing people up, maiming people. And this is all within the rules of what's acceptable in war. Is it right for a Christian, and for those just tuning in wondering where in the world this is coming from, we've been talking about whether it was right for Bonhoeffer to attempt to assassinate Hitler. Was that right? Was that a Christian thing to do? Are you defending the innocent? Are you saving lives by taking a guilty life? What if you're in the military? Where does one make the distinction? So, leads to the larger question. We've got a large evangelical presence in the military, a perhaps disproportionate percentage of evangelicals serve in the military, which means in many cases it's been done through families. In many cases, the Christian dad served and now the Christian son or daughter are serving in the military. Should Christians be in the military? Should all Christians adopt a philosophy of pacifism and either God defends us or he doesn't, or those who are non-Christian fight, which I think it's really interesting that the non-Christians fight to keep the lives of the Christians safe and the Christians themselves don't fight. What if all of America was totally Christian? Do we just depend on God to defend us? Or do we believe that God will back us as we fight our wars as God backed Israel when Israel fought its wars? 866-34-TRUTH. Yet another thing to think about. And I want to tell you plainly, I'm not going to solve all these problems at the end of the show, but I will address a few foundational issues. I will share some of my thoughts with this. Again, just comments kind of flooding in. Jesse says, by not assassinating Hitler, you would be effectively killing many people. Greg said, this is the same argument given by those who advocate violence to stop abortions. Daniel said, yeah, but it's not murder. It's killing in defense of God's people, so it's only defending the Jews. Well, what about defending the unborn? Deborah said, many tried to kill Hitler and failed. Your question is almost like, should slaves kill their violent slave owner who had the power to do whatever he wanted and not be persecuted as a murderer or rapist? Many slaves were killed, no justice. Therefore, the answer is yes. I don't think repentance is necessary, and killing Hitler would not be considered murder. My opinion, based on Scripture. Elisha had a different take. You should instead kidnap him and try to change his heart. Perhaps a little too much idealism in that one, although I appreciate it. Tom, for all those saying it's okay, why not assassinate the abortion doctors who are killing millions of innocent babies? In point of fact, there are far more babies who've been killed by abortion than Jews and others who were killed by the Nazis. Why do we make that distinction? 866-34-TRUTH. And again, is there a difference between Old Testament and New Testament? You have a woman like Jael is pronounced in English, but Jael kills Sisera in Judges, the 5th chapter. I mean, she's hailed for doing this as taking out a leader. She had the opportunity, you know, she led him into her tent, and when he was resting, killed him, and she's hailed for that. Was that Old Testament versus New Testament? Do we now fight spiritual battles versus physical battles? Do we make that distinction? What about Nebuchadnezzar, my servant? Did God sovereignly raise Hitler up for a purpose? Would we be fighting against God's purposes for Hitler? All right, let me grab some calls. Debbie in Franklin, thanks for calling today. What's your take?
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. Well, when you were talking about what you were saying about the abortion doctors, like what's the difference of killing him and Hitler? Well, first off, the people who they requested from the doctor to get their child killed, sad to say. Whereas Hitler, nobody requested it. He just did it on his own. So you can't really compare those two. But I just want to say that I think God does allow certain killings, because look what David did with Goliath, and the Lord backed that up.
All right, yeah, so that, of course, raises the question then, Old Testament versus New Testament, or can you make universal deductions for that? Hey, thanks for the call, Debbie. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, we come back after the break. Rich in Jacksonville. And then I want to share a couple things from my heart with you as well. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown. Posted some recent pictures from India, from the trip over there, that go hand in hand with the show I did about washing the feet of a martyr's widow. So I encourage you to visit over there. Let me just share one thing with you before I go back to the phones. I hope you don't hold it against me that we do not spend an hour on the air trying to raise money. I hope you don't hold it against me that this is not a one-hour infomercial for our ministry and the things that, by God's grace, we do here in America and around the world. I hope you don't penalize me for the fact that we don't make heavy money appeals. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I very rarely, hardly ever talk about money, and yet this is listener-supported radio. We have the opportunity to expand on many more stations, but we do need some help to do it, and we often go to others outside of our listening audience and say, hey, would you support what we're doing? But I want to make an appeal to you. If you've been blessed by the show, if there would be a loss in your life if we were off the air, if you believe in the message we're bringing, our outreach to the Jewish people, our standing as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, our equipping and strengthening the body, or raising up, sending out missionaries around the world, if you believe in what we're doing, can I ask you to stand with us with an end-of-the-year gift? And for everyone that sends in a gift of any amount, I want to send as a token of appreciation a two-hour DVD of the debate that I did together with James White against Anthony Buzzard and Joe Good on the deity of Jesus and God's triunity on the Jewish Voice broadcast. $20 value, two DVD set, 2 hours of material. Here's what you do. Write to us at Line of Fire, P.O. Box 5546. That's Line of Fire, P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027, or go to askdrbrown.org and click on support. When you write in and send your gift, just request for your gift of any size or a token of appreciation the Trinity debate, and we'll send it out to you. You can also call 888-378-FIRE. We're a little understaffed right now today, but if you call, we can't answer your call. Just leave us your name and number. We'll get back to you, 888-378-FIRE. Okay. Back to the phones. Rich in Jacksonville, thank you so much for calling the Line of Fire today.
Hi, my name is Rich. I was just wanting to kind of give some thoughts on the question that's under consideration.
Thank you, sir. Please.
Yeah, Romans 13, you know, makes it clear that the powers that be are ordained of God for the punishment of evildoers. And so that would mean that God has ordained government. God has ordained for a government to have police officers, armies, navies. And the purpose of that is to punish evildoers. And so I don't think there's any correlation to a person who would be executing lawful service for his country when God has ordained that government and established the authority of that government. There's no equating that with a person who would take a bomb and blow up an abortion clinic. That's a vigilante. That's clearly contrary to the scriptures and to the mandate of the scriptures.
Right. So, so just to be clear on this, a great difference would be if once it's a government, whether we think it's legitimate or not, if it's a government, if it has authority, it's therefore raised up by God based on your reading and the reading of many of Romans 13. Therefore, if that government has a military, the military may be doing good or evil, but we still have to submit to that military. Whereas if we as individual citizens try to take the law in our own hands, we are vigilantes and therefore against authority.
That is correct. And we're out from under the umbrella of authority, and therefore on independent ops, contrary to the Word of God.
All right.
I was going to say, from an argument of silence, not that that's a good argument, but I think in this case it may be, Jesus dealt with Roman centurions, he dealt with Roman soldiers. Never did he tell them to stop serving in the military. And Rome was a very pagan, evil nation, but rather those soldiers and those centurions that he interacted with, he told them to do what was honest, not to exact more money than they should, not to oppress. And so I think if indeed it was sin, Jesus would have surely dealt with those Roman soldiers and told them, hey, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to serve God, you've got to get out of the military.
All right. Now, one related question. I asked this to a caller at the end of the show yesterday. Was the American Revolution therefore wrong?
Well, and that's where I was going lastly. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, they saw that there comes a time, and again, I don't know when that time is, but I will at least as best I can articulate their thoughts. There comes a time when a government no longer serves the people, when a government is no longer evildoers, but rather a government is raising up evil, and a government is empowering evil, and a government has turned against the people. And they would say, our founding fathers would say, at that point, it is your responsibility to against that government. Now,
right.
When that happens,
right,
that's a great matter of prayer, brother.
Yes, sir. Hey, Rich, I just got to jump in, but thank you for the articulate thoughts and the way that our founding fathers put it was rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God. The question would be then, was not Hitler a tyrant? Mussolini, Stalin, Mao, weren't these men tyrants? Pol Pot, should you then take them out? It becomes complex, but Rich, thank you for the thoughts. We shall be back. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Barring something earth-shattering that changes the course of where we're going tomorrow, we're going to raise the question, is there such a thing as bad things happening to good people? Because after all, I mean, no one's really good, so is it even a theological question? We'll talk about it. Trust me, we will get you thinking on the show tomorrow. And for those who missed this on Monday, oh, you need to hear it. The 12 days of winter. Let's take a listen.
On the first day of winter, my teacher taught to me, we can't have nativity scenes. On the second day of winter, my teacher taught to me, Susie has two mommies, but we can't have nativity scenes. On the third day of winter, my teacher taught to me, Islam is peaceful, Susie has two mommies, but we can't have nativity scenes. On the fourth day of winter, my teacher taught to me, our military's evil, Islam is peaceful, Susie has two mommies, and we can't have nativity scenes. On the fifth day of winter, my teacher taught to me, diversity. Military bad, Islam good, Susie has two mommies, but we can't have nativity scenes. On the 12th day of winter, my teacher taught to me, you don't need a gun, gotta save the planet, don't mention God, Ninth Circuit good, cradle to grave, no right or wrong, tolerance of others, diversity. Military bad, Islam good, Susie has two mommies, but we can't have nativity scenes. No, we can't have nativity scenes.
Just want to give you a heads up, coming next week, we'll have the debate right here on the Line of Fire, should Christians celebrate Christmas or not? And I bet folks on both sides will hear some things they may not have thought about yet. Those that want to view the actual YouTube clip from which you just heard the audio, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you'll find it on Monday's broadcast listed there. And by the way, everyone's sending in a gift to us. It is tax deductible. Just want to let you know that. And don't think to yourself, well, you know, I can't do a lot. Because if all of you listening do a little, trust me, it'll make a massive difference to us, and it'll help us to touch a lot more people. All right, time for my bottom line. Would it be right for a Christian leader to try to assassinate Hitler? When does one draw the line? These are really difficult questions, really complex questions, and ones that I don't know we can so easily answer from this distance. But this much I do want to make clear. We must guard our own hearts in our daily dealings, in situations that arise, in situations with our government, situations with our society, interaction with neighbors, others. We must guard our own hearts against bitterness, against anger, against the spirit of vengeance, against the spirit of, I'm going to take this in my own hands and repay. We should, as our default reaction, I'm not talking about protecting your family against an intruder breaking in, trying to kill. Talking about our attitude, our interaction towards people who are evil, our interaction with those who wound us with words and otherwise, our attitude should be interpersonally, as I have been forgiven much, I forgive you much. Our attitude should be, as mercy has been shown to me, I show mercy to you. Our attitude should be, you come to me with hatred and evil, I'm going to overcome your hatred and evil with love and with good and with the character of Jesus. And rather than trying to take up a sword of vengeance, I'm going to put that down and pick up my cross and follow the Master. As to the larger questions we've raised, we'll sort them out on future shows. But right now, let's focus on our attitude. Not anger, not vengeance, but love, mercy, compassion, standing for justice as we follow Jesus and his example. Back with you tomorrow.